welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
Good morning, everybody. Can't tell you that how much my wife and I absolutely love East Coast or East Coast. We do love East Coast. We do love East Coast. Yeah. But how much we do really do love Lighthouse Christian Fellowship. And I'm grateful for Pastor Kevin giving me the opportunity. There was a time I thought I would never want to be back in the pulpit again, and he's kind of stirred that excitement in me. A lot of churches, three things, a lot of churches have a mission to help you discover your gift, develop your gift, but East Coast Christian Center is not afraid to let you demonstrate your gift. Lighthouse. I owned East Coast Gymnastics, and I got East Coast Gymnastics on the brain. But anyways, Lighthouse. So thank you, Pastor Kevin, if you're watching. I appreciate that. We do have some friends with us this morning. My wife, of course, my mother, my daughter, Deborah, and then my brother-in-law and his lovely wife, Pat, from upstate New York. They're snowbirding. And let me see. I'm going to look around and see if anyone else showed up that I invited. Okay. All right. So today we're going to talk about, well, let's pray. Oh, before we pray, happy Veterans Day, everybody. Appreciate that. On Thursday was the 256th Marine anniversary. All right, so if you're a Marine, hoorah. All right. Do we have any World War II vets? Not many of those still around. Do we? All right. How about combat vets? Anyone see combat? Purple Heart vets. Purple Heart vet. Okay. All right, Vietnam vet. All right, thank you for your service. Korean War, Grenada, Enduring Freedom, Iraqi Freedom, Noble Eagle. All right, well, thank you for your service. Glad to have served with you. All right, let's pray. Father, we come under the authority of your word today. We submit ourselves to it. We ask God your richest blessing on today's message, that it would speak to our hearts, that it would challenge us, that it would strive us to be all that you want us to be in Christ. We lift up Pastor Kevin and those on the mission field. We pray that you would be their mouthpiece. You would use them, use their hands, their feet, their backs. Give them rest when they need it. Let them accomplish the things they've set out to accomplish and to be a light to all those around, and leading others to Christ, to be an example of your love to us in the world, and we commit them into your care in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Before we get into our scripture this morning, our text, let's talk about the Apostle Peter for a second. So the Apostle Peter was him and his brother were the first two disciples that were called of the Lord. They were fishermen. If you remember, Peter was also the one who Jesus called out from the boat to walk on the water, who looked at the waves and then started sinking. The Apostle Peter was also the one that said that to Jesus that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Peter's also the one that when the guards came and the high priest servant came to get Jesus out of the Garden of Gethsemane, that he drew his sword and cut off the servant's ear that Jesus healed and put back on. That's kind of cool, huh? Peter is also the one that denied the Lord three times, that Jesus prayed for and said, I pray that your faith would not fail, and when you've recovered, strengthen your brothers. Peter now, as he's writing 2 Peter, it's about 50 AD, 50 to 60 AD. He's in prison in Rome. Nero is the emperor. And if you've read some history, you know that Nero, there was a big fire in Rome, and Nero blamed the Christians, and so he ended up crucifying like a thousand Christians. But if you put the picture back up, that's Michelangelo's depiction of St. Peter's crucifixion. St. Peter didn't think himself worthy enough to be crucified in the manner that Jesus was crucified, so he was crucified upside down. Pretty awesome, isn't it? So that's who's writing 2 Peter chapter 1, or 2 Peter. And we're going to focus on chapter 1 this morning. And the title of this morning's message is Adding to Our Faith. Now before I begin this, I'd like to say that my intent is to not necessarily make it sound or to impart onto kind of like a religious thing that we have to, through practice and good works and so on, earn our faith. That's not true. You all understand that, of course. We have faith in Christ, and because of our faith, we produce good works. Is that not true? Okay, James said it, faith without works is dead, but because of our faith, we do produce good works. Is that correct? Okay. And we know as we abide in the Spirit, as he abides in us and we in him, that we bear forth good fruit. And you shall know every tree by its fruit. Amen? Okay? So when we talk about adding to our faith, these are really, I think, just good practices that we would like to try to weave into our lives as we come out of darkness into the marvelous light as we endeavor to serve the Lord. Amen? Okay? So please take that not as a like you need to do these things, but take it more as a challenge and exhortation to exalt these kind of truths and things into our lives. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read from the Message, and we have the Message version up on the screen. Verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, I write this to you whose experience with God is as life-changing as ours. I like that. All due to our God's straight dealing and the intervention of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you many times over as you deepen in your experience with God and Jesus our Master. Amen. Everything, say everything with me,
everything
that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, the best invitation we've ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. Your tickets to participation in the life of God after you've turned your back on a world corrupted by lust. Verse 5. So don't lose a minute building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet, no day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you, oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. So friends, confirm God's invitation to you, his choice of you. Don't put it off. Do it now. Do this, and you will have your life on a firm footing, the streets paved and the way wide open into the eternal kingdom of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. Say amen. I'm just going to read a few passages from the Amplified. Starting in verse 5, for this very reason, applying your diligence to the divine promises, make every effort. Make every effort in exercising your faith to develop moral excellence. And in moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. and in your self-control, steadfastness, and in your steadfastness, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly affection, and in your brotherly affection, develop Christian love, that is to learn, unselfishly seek the best for others, and to do things for their benefit. Verse 10, therefore, believers, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Be sure that your behavior reflects and confirms your relationship with God. For by doing these things, actively developing these virtues, you will never stumble. Do you think Peter knew something about stumbling? But if you do these, he says, you won't stumble in your spiritual growth. And we'll live a life that leads others away from sin. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly provided to you. So let's add to our faith. Let's start with good character, virtue, moral excellence, the Amplified Version said. If they're not a person in here today that doesn't think that we are really in a battle for the morality of our nation, we do live in a great nation, absolutely. But from academia, from grade school to college, our world leaders, our congressmen, our senator, even the highest office in the land, the commander-in-chief, the presidency, we are seeing moral decline, moral failure, moral, not moral excellence. Does it bother you that a congressman who makes $87,000 a year all of a sudden makes $10 million in 1 year? How does he do that on an $87,000 salary? They're supposed to be public servants. We're going to talk about some of our heroes of faith in the next point. But let me say this. You remember, you know, George Mueller? He did an orphanage and supplied the needs of an orphanage completely by faith. When he died, it was estimated that he had nearly $5 million run through his fingers to keep that orphanage open back 50, 60, 80 years ago. But he died with only two nickels. John Wesley, Charles Wesley, who wrote a bunch of hymns, also had millions of dollars run through their hand for the work of Christ and died paupers. Public servants. Isn't that the character we look for in our leaders? Come on. I know I'm preaching. I'll stop. I'll get back to the scripture. But how important is good character? Make your yay, yay. Make your nay, nay, right? If it'd be better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it. Say amen.
Amen.
Okay? How good is that? Good character. My wife and I homeschooled our 9 children. We chose a character-based curriculum. Because honestly, I could care less if they knew what 2 + 2 was. But I did want them to know what honesty, integrity, loyalty, diligence, respect, what all those things meant. And so we chose a character-based curriculum. Back when I was, she did most of the work. Back when I was preaching, I actually did a radio show for about 6 months to a year, and it was titled Lessons on Character. I didn't have fancy music playing into it. I didn't have fancy music exiting the program. I just got on when it was my time, and I read a lesson on character. It's so important and so needed. Is there anyone want to argue that? It is so needed today. You don't even know if you could go and knock on someone's door these days. It's kind of scary. Or if you could stop on the side of a road to help someone, it's kind of scary, right? What happened? When did that turn around? Yet we, you, me, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, the city set on a hill, a light that cannot be hid. But if the salt loses its saltiness, what's it good for? We should be that dam holding back the tide of immorality as the people in the church and the saints of God. I'll stop and I'll move on. Okay. So let's go on. All right. So let's define. We did homeschool our kids with a character-based curriculum. And to be honest, I was hard on my kids. I felt if I was hard on them, then anything the world threw at them, they could handle. I remember reading a story of a man that went out to the street to get his newspaper, and every day he'd go out to the street, get his newspaper, on the way back in, there was an oak tree that he had planted. He'd smack the oak tree with the newspaper. He wanted that oak tree to develop good, solid roots. And he wanted to stress the tree so that it would develop stronger, deeper roots, right? So what is character? Here's a simple definition: doing what's right when no one's looking. Just doing what's right because it's the right thing to do. Too often, I on a couple of social media strands, I'm disappointed in our leaders that just don't do what's right because a political action committee is funding their campaign. I should stop, huh? I'm sorry. All right. Okay. All right. So, how many back in the day when we used to write letters and you'd sign your letter sincerely? How many have ever done that? What does sincerely mean? Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to feel like I'm setting you up. Sincerely means, from the Greek word, means without wax. So back in the days of Christ, those that would sell pottery, if they had something come out of the kiln that had a crack in it, they'd fill it with wax. So they could sell it and show and demonstrate that it holds water. But when they put that pot on a stove and started to heat it, what happened to the wax? It melted. So when you're writing your letter sincerely, you're literally saying without wax. It's true. It's complete. It's honorable. It has integrity. And how do you test integrity? How do you test character? Trials, tribulations, pressure, right? I did a message years ago when the hurricane hit Oakland, California, and Highway 880 collapsed. Highway 880 had been there for years, but put it under pressure. Start shaking the ground. What happened? It collapsed. Character is found under pressure. It's the thing that makes us, like putting metal into a fire 7 times, it purifies it, makes it stronger. Okay? Psalm 1. So you know, this is just Fred Maffel's talking, I guess, a little bit of scripture here, but if you lie down with dogs, you wake up with fleas. Psalm 1 says what? Blessed are those that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He will be like a tree planted by rivers of waters who bring forth its fruit in its season. Amen? What does that scripture tell me about sin? It slows you down. You went from walking to standing to sitting. And if you lie down with dogs, you get up with fleas. You need to surround yourself with people of faith and of character that'll challenge you. Because as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Say amen. All right, I have a few quotes for you. People of character do the right thing even if no one else does. Not because they think it will challenge the world, but because they refuse to be changed by the world. Character is more to be praised than outstanding talent. Doesn't it bother you when a $20 million a year basketball player doesn't have any character and he's telling us what to do and how to act and how to behave? I'd rather have someone my kids honor, respect, someone that maybe doesn't make nearly a tenth of what that professional athlete player makes, but has character. Good character is more to be praised than outstanding talent. Most talents are, to some extent, a gift. Good character, by contrast, is not given to us. We have to build it piece by thought, choice, courage, and determination. Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved. Helen Keller. Good character. When I graduated high school, I had an appointment to. It's Veterans Day yesterday, so we'll talk some military stories. I had an appointment to West Point and to Annapolis, and actually went to West Point for a while. I went through Beast Barracks, which was fun, interesting. It was fun. And for 8 weeks, while we were in Beast Barracks, we could only say four things. I'm not making this up. This is absolutely the truth. We could only say four things outside of our room. Yes, sir. No, sir. No excuse, sir. And, sir, I do not understand. We could actually say eight things. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. No excuse, ma'am. And, ma'am, I do not understand. I always thought that'd be a great way to do counseling. Sir, do you love your wife? Yes, sir. Why are you not showing it? No excuse, sir. Are you going to do it in the future? Yes, sir. Only could say four things. But it built character, right? It built character. So we're going to add to our faith character, moral excellence. Then we're going to add to our moral excellence knowledge. We've got a slide, spiritual understanding. When I graduated high school, I think for all intents and purposes, I was functionally illiterate. I did great in math on my SATs. I think a perfect score on SATs is 1,500, I think. And I would score like 720 in math, but 290 in English. I was so happy when Word came out with spell check and grammar check and all those things, you know what I mean? Because I was just horrible at it. But my wife and I got saved. And when we got saved, we went to a Bible study, and I saw everybody there with their Bibles, and they were highlighting and taking notes and so on. And I remember the moment, and I'm not making this up, I remember the moment distinctly that I stood and I said, God, I guess now I have to learn how to read. And so I set out to read. And over a period of years, I got 1 degree, and then I got 2 degrees, and then I got 3 degrees, and if you include my 2-year Bible study, now I'm accredited a 4th degree, and then I got a 5th degree, and now I don't want to go to school anymore. But I wanted to grow in my knowledge, not just academia, but I also wanted to grow in my knowledge of Him. I went to the church board that I was pastoring and said, I would like a book allowance. And they gave me $75 a month. It was wonderful. And I don't have a list of books that I'd want to buy. And I started collecting. I had the entire collection of Charles Spurgeon in hardback. I think I had the entire collection of D.L. Moody in hardback. I had a whole expository on Romans, like 12 volumes just on the book of Romans. And just read things by Charles Finney. Let me show you that. I was scared I was going to run out of time. Last service. But I read things by Charles Finney, great revivalist. Read things by D.L. Moody, who inspired Charles Spurgeon. I read things by Billy Sunday. Who knows who Billy Sunday is? Billy Sunday was a baseball player who became a gospel preacher. I read things by John Wesley, Charles Wesley, Susanna Wesley, Catherine Kuhlman, Smith Wigglesworth, even Max Lucado, modern authors. And I really, at one point, wanted to read a book a week. It was really my goal. And I wanted to read a leadership book a week. And so I have some gifts here. I also read A.W. Tozer. Anyone read A.W. Tozer? All right, see a couple. The Knowledge of the Holy. This is an amazing book. It's meat. And would you like one? Okay. There's 7 here. All right. But it will challenge you. It is an amazing book, The Knowledge of the Holy, A.W. Tozer. But I wanted to have knowledge, not just necessarily for knowledge's sake, but I wanted to be able to talk to people in a way that they would understand, and that I had information to back it up, some apologetics, if you will. I studied some apologetics. I'll never forget, I want to talk to the young people that are going to school these days. It's a great opportunity to witness.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Join us every Thursday night for Discipleship Encounters here at Lighthouse Christian Church. That's right, it's Thirsty Thursday from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and we're spending time learning, encountering, and becoming equipped as believers for the great revival that's beginning to unfold. Come experience the power of the gospel and learn how to share Christ in a modern world. For more information, go to ourlighthouse.net or show up at 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's no cost for this event, and child care is provided.
Are you 18 to 29 years old? If so, Launch Young Adult Ministries is the place you want to be. We meet every Sunday night at 6:30 in the Double Bubble at Lighthouse Christian Church, 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's fun and fellowship, so come on out as we get you ignited to launch you to where God wants you to be. For more information about Launch, check us out at our website, ourlighthouse.net, or on Instagram at launch_youngadultministries. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are on Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning for our radio show, Turn the Light On, at 7:30 on WMIE 91.5 or any of our social media channels. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to see you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.